In the great halls of the Undercover Capes, there are assembled four of the world's greatest podcasters. The Machine, Johnny Hughes. The Fearless, Freddie Nero. Freya, the Goddess of Destiny. And the legendary 13th Crusader. Together with their combined might and power, these comic crusaders fight comic book injustice, right that which is wrong, serve all humanity, while presenting you the Definitive Crusade!
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Definitive Crusade, along with Freddie Nero and Johnny the Machine Hughes. I am your host, the 13th Crusader, and joining us today is Tracy. Tracy, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you very much. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
Hey, that's awesome. My line.
Terrific.
It was lovely. The unison was perfect.
Yes.
And unplanned. That was good.
Yeah, fantastic. So, unfortunately, Freya is not with us for this episode. But we are here to talk about the San Diego Comic-Con news that's been out and about recently for DC Comics. And we're going to get it started off right now. There were a lot of things out there that DC announced and or mentioned. So we won't cover every single one of them, but we'll cover a few. So just want to see what your guys' take was on the Justice League movie trailer that was released out into the wild. So I'll go around the horn. Tracy, I'm going to start with you. Have you had the chance to see the Justice League movie trailer?
Of course I have.
All right. So what do you think of it?
It was interesting to watch. Again, with my love of Wonder Woman, it was just fabulous to see her in the forefront. Mm-hmm. I'm just sad that The Flash was changed. That's my big qualm with that movie. You know, they have a TV series that's extremely popular. He's a huge fan base. And then they don't cast him in the movie.
Right.
So watching it, he's quite dorky and, you know, but not in the it's overly emphasized, you know, like how rude, you know, at the last when he's talking to Commissioner Gordon and you're like, oh, man, that's cringeworthy. Yeah,
he's not quite wow, that's crazy. I have such a complete opposite view of this Flash. That's so weird.
Well, you know, everybody's allowed to have their own opinion. I think it's just, you know, when you invest in a character. And then they decide to keep that character on TV, but then change him in the movie. To me, it doesn't make sense because it's not going to be cohesive to the process, you know, and you want it to be able to smooth, you know, the smooth transition.
Right.
You see, I mean, I kind of see it as Flash has a great following for CW. It doesn't have like even if it was like as big as Game of Thrones, it's not going to have as many viewers as the movies do. And so you're going to have to try to adhere to all the history of The Flash. I love The Flash show, but I do think it's different. Like I'd rather them be freer in the movies than to have to deal with all this baggage. And then really we're just going to have The Flash. We're not going to have Team Flash. And now we're adding like 9 people to the Justice, you know what I mean? Like it just,
yeah.
It feels like we're doing a lot just to try to get him in. And what they said for the upcoming Flash series is he's about to get more fun and dorky in the TV show too. He's about to lose his seriousness, so we're kind of going to get the same Flash in both. It feels like.
Yeah, I just personally felt it was over the top. It was like a bit of ham acting for me. That's the only thing I didn't like about the entire thing, you know. I love the, like, Momoa, who doesn't, you know, he was fantastic as Aquaman, and then, you know, the whole controversy over Superman, is he or isn't he, and what about lovely Tash, and it's like, what are we going to do if we're going to keep changing characters constantly? How are we going to follow it as fans?
I feel it's the same way as when we change writers. On right. Comic books and artists, they look different every 5 years, and we have new writers every year, maybe. Like they change constantly. We're used to that. Even in the cartoons, every two or three seasons, we got a new show, and they're going to look different, and we're going to tell different stories. And sometimes we're going to tell some of the same stories, but with a different take. I don't know. I feel like comic fans are used to that.
I kind of right, and crazy at the minute. Yep. I've got to be honest, because I watched the trailer and I was really hyped up for it, and it was kind of. I'm quite wary of this movie moving forward. To me, I like Ben Affleck as Batman, or Batfleck, or whatever you want to call him.
No.
I do. I'm sorry. I think he's really great as an old Bruce Wayne. It works really, really well. But then he comes out and he starts dropping these one-liners, and you're like, oh, man. Might as well get George Clooney back in there, you know?
Or Val Kilmer, even better.
Well, I kind of agree with Tracy on this. As a spectacle, it looks great, but to be fair, so do most computer games. So can we not get back to the characters? One of the good things that I really enjoyed about the Wonder Woman movie was the fact that Diana is a real character. It was that character-driven piece all the way through. Justice League just looks like a mash of this computer image versus that computer image, and may the Apple Mac beat the PC or vice versa. Who knows? But by the end of it...
To be fair, what's different about that than the Justice League comic?
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's no character development at all in the past couple of years. It's just a mashup of all these characters.
There isn't. I think they've been trying recently with the whole idea of using the lanterns as the linchpin to get the characters to interact more. You know, you saw recently Jessica Cruz and Simon thinking that they were being trained by Wonder Woman. It was like, no, I wanted to spar with you because you're my equal.
Mm.
And so they are trying to do that, but they're just doing it a different way. The problem, of course, with Justice League is that it doesn't have Geoff Johns on it anymore. It has Brian Hitch on it. And Geoff Johns is really good at doing that personal dynamic stuff, which is why JSA and Justice Society was so good. And then when he left, it all went to shit. So, you know, it's just
don't mince your words there, Gina. Come on, say how you feel.
Well, you know, I've been a bit of a... I'm sorry, Brian Hitch, if I ever meet you, I'll shake your hand and you're probably a really good guy, but sometimes, as everyone knows who's listened to the show before, his Justice League book just doesn't cut the mustard.
No, and we mentioned last podcast that the best thing that's happened with the book lately to me was Mara, and the fact that we had a guest writer and guest artist, which I wish would remain on the book.
Definitely.
But you guys are absolutely right. It's just... you know, different pieces of the roster that they're just trying to experiment with and see which one takes off. And I view that with the same thing as with Mara in her addition to the book. Do I love it? Yes. Do I want to see Mara in Justice League? Absolutely. But
she's going to be an amazing character, though, in general. She's got such depth to her.
And right. Again, intended.
I know, right? But she's a very strong, and you know, she sways a lot of people, and it's something that you want to see, rather than just, oh, here, let's put some more CGI on top of Cyborg and do some explosions.
Well, I hope that works. I hope that's exactly the way they go, because I think the writers, just looking at that trailer, I'm really, really sorry to interject a little bit there, is that I think that they're particularly lazy with their prima donna characters. So people like Batman and Superman get short shift because everyone knows who they are. You know, so they're going to have to play to characters like The Flash, who comes across as dorky. They're going to have to play a little bit with Wonder Woman, who has grown from this guest star in Batman vs. Superman to her own movie to practically leading the league, it looks like. I don't know. It's just noise to me. It really is just noise. Sorry.
But it's like when you go back to the original comic books, you know, they didn't want to put Superman out there too much. So they had Martin Martian, and he was, you know, they were, you know, using those characters off each other, and they're doing the same in the movies, I think. They're using little known characters to bounce off the bigger characters so that they don't become jaded.
Good show.
One final counter I have to that, Johnny, was... Everyone's been complaining for years, not necessarily you or us, that DC is not as good as Marvel in the movies. And I've heard that what you said a few times, this is just a big CGI mashup fight thing. What's different about that than any Marvel movie?
It's fine. You can say that. That's great. But I don't like Marvel movies.
I don't either. I'm not a big fan at all. I mean, I watch them. They're not as great as everyone says they are. I don't suck the dick like everyone else.
My wife loves them. my wife loves the whole Thor thing and all that sort of stuff. And I've seen them, and the, you know, I enjoyed the I enjoyed the first Captain America one. I thought that was canny, but that was because it was more about Steve Rogers than it was about Captain America. And as it moves and moves and moves forward, it's like, oh, really? You know, you've heard my views on Civil War. It's just absolute a turd.
Yeah.
You know, and Iron Man 3 is just Skyfall and The Dark Knight Rises. You know, broken hero.
Yeah.
Keeps getting broken and comes back not ready. Has PTSD, manages to win the day. It's the same movie.
But is that not all predominant superheroes, no matter what genre, writer, you know, company they come from? You look at all these big characters, you know, DC characters that are all very similar. You know, we're after getting Batman, who has parents are lost and he's rich and he's this and he's that. You've got Arrow and he's rich and he's lost his, you know, went missing on an island. They're all the same stories, just rehashed differently. So is it really that bad?
I plan on being the steady host, the palm tree in the hurricane for DC, holding the DC flag up, just because all the shit we've had to deal with over the years as a DC fan, hearing all the crap from Marvel fan. I'm not all big on the DC versus Marvel thing, but I will always find the good just because there's so much shit. So if I'm ever, and sometimes I know that I'm too much for DC, but I feel like that's because I'm counteracting stuff. Not necessarily y'all. This is just pent up aggression I've had over the last, you know, years.
But I could understand.
Freddie, I have a tear in my eye, man, after all that stuff that you said. You will not fail this city. And I
mean that. You will not you fail this multiplex.
Yes. Yeah. So, final thoughts on the Justice League movie trailer. So, Tracy, you wanted to say something?
It was beautiful to watch, but I'm worried about the acting.
I can agree with you to a decent extent there. However, you know, some of these actors I'm not too overly familiar with. So, and I guess that's where that comes from. We already know Gal Gadot's gonna kill it.
Oh, she's gonna kick it out of the park, man.
I'm not a Ben Affleck diehard fan. However, I wasn't disappointed with his performance in BVS. So I think he'll pull it off. As for the other guys, you know, like Ezra Miller and Flash, I like the Flash character a lot. I always have. So I'm curious to see how, you know, he's going to interact. And from what I've seen so far with some of the clips here and there, I think he's going to do okay. I'm more excited to see, you know, the villains or you know, and all that stuff. So
yeah.
And well, some
I'm
of the
looking forward to seeing Jason Momoa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not a non-woman.
On top of the Batmobile.
But
that's
going to
be awesome.
Yeah,
jumping out of parademons. Yes.
Yeah.
I've never been an Aquaman fan, but I'll tell you something with what he's doing right now. I think he's going to rewrite the script on that.
Well, the newer Aquamans that have been coming out since Rebirth have been quite interesting because they have changed his character slightly.
Yeah, they have. And I think the artwork by Stephen Sedgwick, if I'm pronouncing it right, has just been
stunning.
Yeah, it's been incredible. All right, so another announcement that was made, the Young Justice Season 3.
Yes, there's a spoiler in it.
Yes.
Yes.
I knew that was coming before I even opened my mouth. You see the little... They
oh, is Wally
little,
back?
No, you idiot. Spoilers in it.
Oh! I thought you said there's a spoiler.
That's what I thought you said, too.
I did. There's a spoiler. Spoiler, Stephanie Brown. Did
wow.
Yes.
Wow. I did. You know what? It's funny. When I saw the lineup, I thought about you when I saw spoiler. Oh, I was like, oh, Johnny is over in England just having a great day.
She was front and center. And I'm like, yep, Johnny's all over this one. So, Johnny, what are your thoughts on that?
Brilliant. Bring it on. Is it?
Just like that.
Young Justice is one of those rare cartoons that I think takes some source material, some source characters, weaves a whole different idea and runs with it and is extremely successful. It's a travesty that this show was cancelled purely on toy sales. When you think of the diverse character range within there, and you think they're also promoting the idea that there's a gay or lesbian character in this season. So they're taking these kind of diverse, well, they're not so diverse now, but these traditional diverse ideas, and they're weaving them into a cartoon show, which I think is great because it means that a younger audience will then get to see how certain characters react in certain ways and so on and so forth, and then they'll determine that gender or sexuality isn't actually an issue one way or the other. If you're a hero, you're a hero, and that's kind of how it should work. I think it's a great show. I loved it from the first part all the way up until the last part. It's been absolutely a great ride, and I hope the season three manages to continue that. I am a little bit concerned about how us Brits are going to see the damn thing, because I understand it's streaming on Warner Brothers. I'm not sure if we get that over here, or if it's some sort of locked site for just US whatnot. So we'll have to see how that goes, but fingers crossed.
Colonials. Colonial Vision.
Sorry, yeah. You Colonials. Yeah.
Sons yeah.
of bitches.
Time to take out the metal hanger, man, and stick it out the window and see if you get a good signal.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Put a flag on it. It might work.
Is that what you did with your PC?
Pretty much. The aluminum foil, everything, man. I tried it all.
So, yeah, it's a win-win for me.
So, Freddie, what are your thoughts on Young Justice?
I'm really excited for it. I remember a while ago, the one of the producers or writers from the show, from the old show, he tweeted out, "Look, we need help to show that people actually want to see this show." Because if I remember right, they said that the failure of the Green Lantern movie actually is part of the reason why they lost their stuff, because their toy sales are tied to Green Lantern's toy sale. It was a whole like package deal thing. So they weren't even canceled because they sucked. They canceled because other things sucked.
Ryan Reynolds, damn you. Marvel can right? kill you.
But he's Deadpool, so one different superhero, and then they get to another superhero and find their feet.
Exactly. So he tweeted, "We need help. Go watch Netflix." Go watch it on Netflix. And I rewatched the whole thing, and then every night I would just press play and just go to sleep and just have it just keep, you know, it'll play for a couple hours before it'll stop and say, "Hey, are you still there?" So I would just do that on
subliminal messaging the thing into your head, like.
Well, it was on mute. At least had it on mute. But I wanted them to see, look, I really want to see this. So as soon as they said Young Justice 3, I don't care who's in it. I'm watching it. So I'm really excited.
Twice in one podcast, you have managed to get me to tear, Freddie. I'm so proud right now. Tracy, what are your thoughts on Young Justice?
Well, I'm not too familiar with Young Justice. It wouldn't have been something I would have watched. I know about it, but I hadn't seen the series. But then obviously listen to all the commotion, and people are saying, "Oh, look, they're going to have a lesbian character in it." And I was like, and I thought a lot of them already had them. And isn't there a lot of those comics out already? So if this is their big push, hopefully that's not their all that they're leaning on to get the audience. But on another hand, as Johnny said, it's great because it's going to open this world up to a whole new audience who may or may not have believed that they could watch it because they didn't have anybody to relate to, and now they will.
Mm-hmm. For the longest time, I wasn't, you know, for myself, I wasn't watching Young Justice as it was being released. I did finally have a chance to catch up with all of the episodes when it was on Netflix, with exactly what Freddie was saying before, when like, "Hey, we need enough viewers," and et cetera, et cetera. So that's when I jumped on to Young Justice, and I don't regret it. It is very well done, and the stories are well done. There's always a purpose, and the relationships between all of the teammates and the villains that come about it and all that stuff, it's very well done. So I'm definitely eager to see what Young Justice Season 3 brings up. But I'm just glad that we're here talking about a Season 3 because, you know, a while back, we thought the season two was going to be it.
So the and there's nothing worse though when you invest in a show that you believe in, you know, you've got, and you know, from what, again, what I've read and what I've heard about it, everybody who watches it adores it. And
right.
And it's something that's an extremely positive show.
Right.
For, especially for the younger viewers who are just coming on the bandwagon now. So it'd be such a shame to lose something like that, just because the viewership wasn't what networks wanted.
Right, yeah, two seasons is too short of a time for the cast of characters that they're trotting out there on the animated platform. So a third season on the way for Young Justice. It can't come soon enough. So moving on, we have some other animated announcements here. So we'll talk about Gotham by Gaslight Animated. And before I go around the horn here, for those of you that have read the book, Gotham by Gaslight was actually one of the first DC Elseworlds title about 30 years ago. And that opened up the door for a lot of different things to come about with all these alternate versions and what have you. So when this announcement came, I was like, wow, this long? Of all the animated things that have been put out there with, you know, similar story to the book or a different adaptation, it's taken this long to talk about Gotham by Gaslight, but it is happening, and I am very excited for it. It was obviously a great story, so I'll go around the horn here to get your feel. So, Johnny, thoughts on Gotham by Gaslight? I know how you feel about animated adaptations or what have you of books, but what are your thoughts on the Gotham by Gaslight?
Firstly, I feel really old when you say that Gotham came out nearly 30 years ago. Has it really been that long? Really?
I mean, I don't know. I wasn't around that back then.
Bitch. I was only a baby.
You can still buy it.
I wasn't even a thought.
I remember buying it. I remember buying the book and being absolutely amazed. It was my introduction to Mike Mignola. And I only bought it because I had £3 left in my pocket. And it was like, it was there. I was like, eh, whatever. I'd seen the advert in one of the comic books and it looked creepy, so I bought it. And it was the best £3 I ever spent, ever. It is one of my favorite Batman books. The fact that they're doing an animated thing, I don't get it. I'm sorry. I would much rather watch something original than something that I've already read. My brother recently watched the Killing Joke cartoon. He said he was a little bit disappointed in it because he said, why are they trying so hard with animation? Why can't they just show the stills of the Brian Bolland art and then have somebody read over it and then show the next still and have someone read over it? I was like, that's called a comic book. It's out there already. Go read it. You know? It's like... You know, and that's the problem with these things. You're going to have a hardcore fan base, and they're not going to get that. You know what? It shouldn't be Peter Weller that's being Old Man Bruce in Dark Knight Returns. It doesn't get why the Batgirl bit is added on the front of the Killing Joke when it's not in the book. They're just not going to get it. They're just stop. New material, please. That's all I ask for. You're not going to be as good as the book. You're not going to be as good as Mike Mignola's artwork. No matter how hard you try, so don't even bother. Put something new out, please. Thank you.
The temperature gauge in the machine has certainly risen.
Where's my beer?
Yeah, hurry up, darling. You know, don't want you to, you know, pass out over there.
Tracy, have you ever read Gotham by Gaslight?
I have. A very, very good friend of mine who reintroduced me to a lot of DC stuff. It's one of his all-time favorites. And he actually has his first copy that he bought still. And again, Mike's artwork, it's just anything that he does is just out of this world. I'm okay with adaptations because I think it does introduce people who mightn't have been interested in the book to go, oh, this is really cool. I'll watch this cartoon and or, you know, movie or whatever adaptation they make. And they go, oh, well, I might buy that book then. And then it introduces people to comics, which I always think is a plus as a comic fan.
I agree with that.
I don't know anybody who I've spoke to who has gone out and seen one of the animated movies and thought, oh, that's really good. I'll go out and buy a book.
I don't know how many people I've met who've bought The Killing Joke after seeing it.
Oh, they'd be disappointed. Because if they're basing it on the Killing Joke book on what they've seen on the film, there's two dramatically different elements to it.
Yeah, of course there is.
You know, not because The Killing Joke's bad in any particular way. I think people's personal preferences and society's uptake on how women should be treated might have changed over the last God knows how many long years. And I've said before, The Killing Joke works because the Joker's a bad guy and he does bad things. Otherwise, he's not a bad guy. It's kind of how it works, I guess, for evil. But, of all the people I know who watch the animated movies on a casual basis, and those are the people that were trying to drag back into comic book stores to buy the things. They don't even know comic book stores exist. They'll buy their graphics, if they ever do, which is very rarely.
Online
or at the local Waterstones, or, hey, do you know W. Smith's has got a graphic novel section? He only sells 4 graphic novels, of course, one of them being The Dark Knight Returns. But, you know, and that's kind of how it... And, you know, Akira's in there still, I think. But that's kind of how it works. But
I don't know. I think over here, obviously, I live in Dublin, and there are several large comic book stores in the city centre and surrounding, and they have a huge fan base. And I've been to, obviously, a lot of the superhero movies, and you come out and you hear kids saying, oh, will you bring me to the comic book store? And then when you're in getting your own comics, you'd be hearing these kids going, oh, the movie was so good, that's why I'm here. So maybe it's just a different clientele from where I am to where you are.
Maybe.
But I've seen a huge increase in younger people, like parents who are obviously, like us, loving our comics, bringing their kids in after they've seen movies or cartoons or animated series. So
there's no doubt that it's a gateway.
So it's huge.
If you haven't been exposed to the book, but you happen to catch the movie, and then you're even more curious, then, you know, the books can be found. And
get your kids into comics, man. They'll never have money to get into trouble then. You know what I mean? That's it. My niece in America, I'm sending her comics left, right, and center. And I'm like, here, read Batgirl, because that's her favorite. You know, and it's like, here's another one. And, you know, and now she's saying to her dad, like, oh, can I have money to go to a comic store? Because, you know, I want to buy these things. So I was like, there you go, bro. She's not going to be worrying about going out with boys. She's not going to be worrying about, you know, buying makeup or buying lipstick or buying silly things. She's going to buy comics. Never get into trouble.
It's all about perspective. And
that's the way I look at it. And you meet people in comic book stores. So, you know.
Yep. And there's no question or no doubt about it that when these films come out, I guarantee you, you're going to see reprints of Gotham by Gaslight hanging out at the very front of all these shops
when the
movie's about to drop. So if it wasn't a gateway, then they wouldn't be doing that. That's my thought on that. Freddie, thoughts on Gotham by Gaslight? First of all, were you born when this comic book came out?
No way. I don't know when it came out, but there's no way. I'm 28.
I think it was it.
Oh, my God.
89?
88 or 89 it came out.
I may have been born then. he over-exaggerated. 89 is a great year. I'll just say that. But, I'm actually looking forward. I like adaptations. However, I did love seeing The Killing Joke not because of what I saw, but it was hearing Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill do the voicing.
Oh, like, to me, he's the best Joker.
Oh, yeah. If it was anyone else, I wouldn't have cared to see it. Because to me, like that's the Joker. I mean, I of course, I love Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson. But the Batman and Joker that I saw the most of was Mark and Kevin. So I like it. I'm sorry. I liked The Killing Joke. However, I prefer adaptations that are adapted. Like, there's an adjustment. It's not just a straight page for page reproduction. Mm-hmm. Unless the performance that the voice actors are giving is going to be A1. With Gotham by Gaslight, it seems that's more, for me at least, it was more of a visual story, like more of a conceptual thing, rather than, hey, here's some great, you know, dialogue. I mean, you know, here's some great acting opportunities here. I prefer, like, when they had the Justice League Doom, to where they adapted, a story, but they changed things in it. I like that kind of thing. Like, I mean, the animated series did it. Justice League did it. And the cartoon.
Justice League Dark did it.
Yeah. They all adapt things. They put a whole bunch of stories together and mix mash it to make it work into something that's new, which, I mean, they always say the best art is steel. So I like that. But I don't want to see Gotham by Gaslight completely reproduced because, like Johnny said, we can just read it.
Right. And, you know, again, I think that when this announcement came up, the first thing that I thought of was Elseworlds. And I have always liked the Elseworlds tales. So not only have I been saying for a while now, like, I wish they could just bring these back, you know, in full force like they did a long time ago. But you know what? We don't always get everything we want, but we are going to get a Gotham by Gaslight animated feature. I am looking forward to it, and there will be a decent amount of buzz as we get closer to the release of the movie about, you know, tales from yesteryear and getting animated and all that stuff. But definitely looking forward to this one. The next thing I wanted to talk about is another animated feature real quick. One that I'm not too sure how to take. It's the Reign of the Superman. So eventually, yeah, there's going to be an animated feature on that. So I guess it's going to pick up from the Death of Superman. And then we're going to get to see all the events that happened thereon after and the resurrection of Superman. So, Freddie, I'm going to start with you with this one, because I don't know if I'm going to have too many nice things to say about this.
To be honest, I'm not quite sure. Is this just the retelling of the old book?
It's some adaptation on it.
I'm not sure how much they gave to it. However, we don't need Reign of Superman unless we have a continuous movie series where Superman just died. and he didn't just die. So it kind of feels out of place for me. Like, if the last movie they just had was Doomsday killing Superman, yes, let's see Reign of Superman. But it's like, why? Why? Mm-hmm. All right, this is kind of weird. So, I mean, and I don't really care too much about Superman at all. And I don't know if we need to be giving Steel any more screen time as it is, assuming he is going to be in there. So that's my two cents.
Yeah, I was just weirded out by this announcement because, I mean, if you don't know that Superman's been alive since that day he died many years ago, I don't know where you've been. So the fact that we're going to be doing an animated feature, well, from the Death of Superman, my God, he died? Really? Yeah, he did decades ago. Why are we going to...
You know what it is?
Can we just be honest? Can we not, when you talk about the Death of Superman, did he die? Let's not forget they've already done the Death of Superman cartoon already.
Right. Yeah. Right. So right.
But not anytime recently, though. Like, it was a long time ago.
Right.
And it kind of feels to me like that terrible Superman movie, Superman Returns. And like, wait a minute, he left? Like, the movie started off as if we all should have known that he left.
Like, where's he gone?
He went to travel somewhere to shave his stash.
So it kind of feels like that. It's like it's a sequel to something that we didn't know that we missed.
Right. You can't call it a return if you've never left.
Exactly. It's all blah, 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 stock and filler.
Didn't he leave at the end of Quest for Peace? Isn't that the idea? It's the continuation.
30 years ago. I mean, 30 years prior, sure.
It's a continuation of that story. It's like Star Wars coming out last year and saying, ooh, the Force Awakens. It doesn't have to, I'm not sticking up for a shitty Superman movie, but no one had to explain that, you know, Darth Vader's dead already. No one had to say, oh, look, there's Darth Vader's mask. What happened to him again? Everyone knows what, you know what I'm saying? So
True.
Let's not just piss on Superman's chips too much.
You are most wise.
Just Superman Returns. Just Superman Returns. And to be fair, they at least like acknowledged, hey, this is the same story. This, like, I didn't find out until like 10 years later that it was a continuation. And I had to listen to a podcast interview to find that out. There's no way you should have to have that much. They should have showed cuts to the old movie. Oh, this is connected. Or in the trailer or something. We shouldn't be left guessing that this is a continuation 30 years later.
Anything to not have an anything so that we don't have to see Nuclear Man again.
No, I'm getting all wound up. I'm sure. I've got to be honest. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I'm sure there's a barn scene. And I think there's a bit where he's chasing the train that gives you the idea that it's thematically the same. But I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen it, so I could be wrong. But I'm not. That's it. I'm done sticking up for Superman right now. The new Reign of Superman, it's just a means to get Steel, a diverse Superman, out into the public eye. That's all it's about. Nobody cares about there being a yet another Superboy clone. It's going to have no impact on the Superboy that's in the comic books. Cyborg Superman, he's already into the Supergirl show. It's going to be a different one again. So it's just a means to get Steel out there. That's all it is. If that was the case, they might as well just stick Steel somewhere in the Supergirl TV show and reach that much more audience.
I think I would agree with that. I'm inclined to agree with that.
A stocking filler.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
It's not going in my stocking.
Tracy, we know it comes in your stocking.
Hey.
And it ain't comic books.
Wow.
What are your thoughts of Superman, Tracy, just out of curiosity, in general?
I find him boring and monotonous.
Welcome to the Definitive Crusade.
See, thank
sounds,
you.
She sounds like Freya, but with just a different accent.
Well, at least we have one thing in common.
So you don't care about reign or death of Superman? It really doesn't matter to you?
Not particularly. I find him a very boring character. I just think, you know, there's nothing to him for me as a fan. It just doesn't appeal. I just think, give me John Constantine any day.
So even the Henry Cavill stash thing doesn't work, no?
Ugh, no.
All right.
No. I don't get Cavill. I don't understand it. It's not, he just doesn't fit. He's not my cup of tea anyway, but still, no, I don't understand why everybody's like swooning over him, going, he was the best Man of Steel ever. I'm like, oh no, he wasn't.
All right, so let's move on to more Superman news. So Frank Miller announces Superman Year One. And I'll kick it off with this. Mr. Miller, why in God's name are you going to do this to us? Okay, as you've just heard some of our members on this podcast say that they're not too thrilled about Superman, here you are coming out of the woodworks to say, you know what's a great idea? I'm going to redo the origin of Superman. Why? Why? Again.
Exactly. Why? We know where he comes from.
Look, you know what I mean? I don't mind if an origin is redone or retold or whatever, but you know, it just too many times, or you're going to announce like this, make this huge announcement. Yeah, this is going to be a kick-ass series. What's it going to be? The origin of Superman. Oh, okay. What's going to be different? So what I'm afraid of is that word, redo. Because I was not a fan of the Dark Knight 3, the Master Race. I questioned it a lot. Forget about Dark Knight 2. You know, Dark Knight 1 was great. You know, so if two out of those three storylines,
ain't bad.
Right, it were, you know, I struggled with, I'm afraid of what's going to happen when he's redoing the origin for Superman. That's just my thought. You know, Superman, you know, my opinion is an iconic character. I don't love him. I don't hate him. He's done a lot of questionable things. But I'm just really concerned why he wants to redo the origin of Superman now at this stage of the game. So, Johnny, what are your thoughts on the announcement of Frank Miller's Superman Year One?
I think the only person who could do it justice with any sort of style and panache is Alan Moore. So DC and Alan Moore need to get their act together and bury the hatchet, preferably not in each other's backs, but still. Alan Moore was instrumental in showing you what Superman was. It's got nothing to do with his superpowers. It's not got nothing to do with where he's from. It's about how he was raised in Ma and Pa Kent, and that's the thing that makes him super, the things that you always do the right thing. So for me, I'm not going to buy the Frank Miller book. If it was Alan Moore, yeah, I probably would.
All right, Freddie, what are your thoughts on Frank Miller announcing that he's going to redo the origin of Superman?
I'm leaning towards being okay with it. Only because me and a friend, we kind of spitballed a comic idea. I mean, this is like a couple years ago. But like a kind of reimagining of Superman with the Frank Miller-esque kind of Dark Knight Returns feel to it. Which I know you guys hate that book, so I won't go on. However, so with that in mind, I kind of am like, all right, I want to definitely see what he has to say. Mm-hmm. However, I mean, I'm not going to put too much into it until it's completed.
Right. I sense a lot of hesitation on your part.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, I respect the man as an artist. However, until I see, you know, the whole run, I can't judge if it's, you know, oh man, it's going to be amazing. It's Frank Miller. Like, no, Frank Miller is hit or miss sometimes. It's always interesting enough, but it's not always great enough. So,
and I have a feeling that Tracy also might have some reservations about this announcement. Am I right?
Well, yes. You know, visually, it'll be nice to look at if he's on a good day. You know, as you said, he can be a bit hit and miss at times. But when he gets it, he gets it.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know the origins. We don't need a year one. We don't need to know. We don't, you know, we don't care. Well, I don't. I'm sorry.
Where was Tracy when I was having the argument about Wonder Woman origins? Where was she then, you know? Could have helped you with that one.
Oh, that's a podcast for a different day.
Yeah. That's a whole other ball game.
To be fair, Batman Year One was written at a time when Batman wasn't doing too well, and it reimagined Batman. And in my opinion, it would be, I mean, I would love for this to be like, in 30 years, we're like, man, the definitive thing in Superman is Superman Year One by Frank Miller in 2018 or whatever. Like, that would be awesome. To have like a great new perspective on Batman that we're like, oh, this is what we've been missing all these years. Because to me, he's usually fucking boring. So I would love for this to be a great tale. Not saying that it is.
Agree.
But it would be great if it could be Batman Year One for Superman.
I agree with that because Superman is such an iconic character. And he was the first real superhero. Yeah. You know what I mean? And he has a lot of fans. He has a lot of, you know, like I said, I don't hate Superman. It's just that something's missing. It's not clicking lately. And I agree with you 100%. There should be some sort of like, look, this is it. We're drawing a line in the sand right now. And we're going to take this from step one and we're going to go on from there. And it's going to be great. And we haven't had that with Superman in a while. Just earlier, we were talking about the death and the reign of Superman. That was a long time ago. We got it. In a way, I feel like we got to move away from that. And what's the next step? So yes, Frank Miller announcing that a new Superman story. Okay, cool. We'll get to see his take on it. However, I'm afraid of when he used the words redoing the origin. You know what I mean?
How it's going to change. The posters will be fantastic, you know?
Yeah.
And the cover will be amazing.
Well, what were you going to say, Johnny?
Don't you find it all a little bit timely with the fact that Sci-Fi Channel are putting out a Krypton TV show based
of
on
course.
The early years of the planet Krypton. It's like, it's just all tie-in stuff, isn't it?
It's marketing, man. That's how the big machine works.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, she's got the machine figured out, machine.
Yeah.
That's a conversation.
It's the same with some of the animated series that they're bringing out because they know, right, we're going to be bringing that out in the next couple of months coming up to Christmas. You know, it's the way the universe is working, you know, multiverse, whatever you want to call it. That's how these things happen. And sometimes it's a great thing because sometimes something comes out of nowhere and it's just one of the most amazing things you've ever read or seen or bought. And then other things are just put out there because they're stocking fillers.
Right. And speaking of timing, let's start talking about some of the book announcements that were made. So I'm going to start off with Doomsday Clock. A series that's going to be written by Geoff Johns. So Geoff Johns hasn't touched a comic book since the DC Rebirth special, which was absolutely awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to come out here with the Doomsday Clock. And he made it a point to make sure this thing starts getting released the day before Thanksgiving because he had fond memories of when he was a kid of reading comic books and then enjoying the Thanksgiving weekend and having all weekend to read them. So sometimes there's a rhyme and a reason why some of these things get released at certain times. Well, there's one. But the significance of this story is definitely going to be a dramatic impact for the DC Universe. Obviously, for many, many podcasts on this show, we've been talking about the effects the Watchmen have had on the DCU and all that. So here we're going to see Dr. Manhattan come out into the forefront. Superman obviously is going to be heavily involved. We're hearing rumors of Ozymandias and Lex Luthor and all of that stuff. There's no doubt about it. This series, everybody's going to be talking about it. Everybody's going to be buying it, I'm sure of it. I'm very, very anxious for this thing to get released. So, Johnny, I'm going to kick it to you for Doomsday Clock. And what are your thoughts on what's been announced on this series so far?
Quite excited. I'm quite excited. It's about time they kind of started wrapping up some of the Watchmen ideas that have been hoisted around the universe, the DC universe for a while. Geoff Johns, 9 times out of 10, hits out the park. He's like a consistent Aaron Judge that way, I guess.
I know that pains you to say that.
Right? The Duke can hit. Well done. strikes out a lot, though.
You had to get it in there, didn't you? You couldn't just leave us.
Freaking Red Sox fans.
I'm hoping for a little bit more than just Watchmen, though. I mean, the whole idea that it says the Doomsday Clock on there. As soon as I hear the word Doomsday, I'm thinking, you know what? Doomsday. I'm not thinking Watchmen. The image gives me the Watchmen. The word Doomsday makes me think of great big Kryptonian monsters that are used to putting other Kryptonian people in graves. But, So hopefully we'll see some sort of mesh. I would like it to be a Superman-heavy story. I don't want Batman to save the DC universe again. I love Batman. Batman's my favorite character.
Do you not think Dr. Manhattan could do it?
Batman would beat Dr. Manhattan. He'd have some sort of crazy nuclear fusion detractor in his belt that does something. But
For God's sake, like his Kryptonian mist that he had in Batman's soups.
Exactly.
Awful.
Johnny, stop it. One of the things that bores me about Batman is that when they take him out of Gotham, they stick him in space, or they do this, that, and the other, and he still manages to win out. It's like, I get it, he's a hero, he's supposed to win, but come on, there has to be an element of really. This is Superman's story. The hints in The Watchmen have all been about Superman. Death of the New 52 Superman, the introduction of the pre-52 Superman, the Jonathan Kent, the two Loises for a while. All these things, the whole intricacy of the DC universe being warped centers on Superman, and it should be him that solves it. So,
I agree.
Superman.
Yep.
Thank you. That's it.
No, I definitely agree with that. We were kind of bashing Superman earlier, but like I said, he is an iconic character.
But this is
he's tremendously important. But this story here, he's at the forefront of it, and he should be.
This is the story that Superman exists for. He's not there to He's not there to stop bank robbers in Metropolis.
Right.
Yeah, he's there for pushing planets through space. That's what Superman's there for.
With both hands firmly pressed against it.
Exactly.
Agreed. Freddie, what are your thoughts on Doomsday Clock?
Kind of agree with the sentiments already said. Definitely looking forward to it. Johnny has convinced me that it has to be Superman. The logic is very sound. However, I do enjoy that Batman is researching because, the Flashes have a definite part in it as well.
Right.
At least we assume so. Even though everything says it's not them, but the button came out when Wally came back, so it has something to do with them. And Batman's the detective, so he should be the one investigating this. So I would be nice to have that, but I agree that Superman has to be the one to solve this problem. Even if Batman helps him with it, that's fine. You guys all kind of beefed it up. I can't really top all that. So
hey, Clark. Check out what I did on this side of the cave. This is the exact machine that Corona used to look back into the beginning of time. This will help us. Tracy, what are your thoughts on the Doomsday Clock announcement?
Hopefully it'll be an interesting read. You know what I mean? I think what you guys are saying is right. It does need to be Superman over Batman on this occasion. Purely because, as Johnny said, it's his bag. You know what I mean? He's the one that's going to be fighting these guys and sorting it all out. And Batman doesn't really have the ability to do that as much as Superman would for this particular storyline. So,
right. I mean, I'm very eager to see the interaction between Superman and Dr. Manhattan, you know. So
yes.
Dr. Manhattan will be like, Clark, you know, my biggest problem is people just keep looking down there. Well, if you grow a stash like I did for no one will be looking down there.
Or you could say, hey, you can be in any form you want, dude. Why don't you put on a pair of pants?
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see if he's really above average in the series for sure.
Dr. Manhattan is. Have you not seen the movie or read the comic?
Unfortunately, I have. And I don't mean about the story, because Watchmen was a tremendous story. And this is what Geoff Johns is. I'm so anxious to see how he's going to weave this tale with the Watchmen and interacting with the DC Universe.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But for me, it's the Watchmen angle that would pull me into it. Just again, with the interactions between Superman and Dr. Manhattan, it'd just be so interesting to see these two heavyweights, you know, standing looking at each other going, so I'm good, are you good?
Right. And
was your mom's name Martha too?
And so that it's not lost. I agree with Freddie said, each of the Flashes have a tremendous part in all of this, and particularly so for Wally. You know, back to the DC Universe Rebirth special, you know, we had several pages dedicated to the return of Wally West. So for sure, this will be an important moment for all of those characters. We'll do a couple more announcements here. So the Dark Knight Metal storyline, there's going to be 6 spinoffs for the DC. It's going to be called DC's Dark Matter line. There's going to be The Silencer by Dan Abnett and John Romita Jr., Sideways by Dan Didio and Justin Jordan, Immortal Man by James Tynion IV and Jim Lee is doing, and then Damage, Robert Venditti and Tony Daniel, and then The New Challengers by Scott Snyder and Andy Kubert. That's great and everything. You know, we're getting Dark Knight Metal. You know, that series or event is going to be kicking off pretty soon, and then we're going to get 6 titles spinning off, being called the Dark Matter line. How many more books are we going to put out?
As many as people buy.
Right. And I'll tell you what, like a couple of these titles, I think they're going to be okay. I'm not sure about all of them.
You look at the heavyweights that they're using to write certain books.
Exactly. The list of creators here definitely gives you that sense that they're not playing around and they're going to, you know, come out strong with this. So I'll quickly go around the horn to gather some thoughts on this. Freddie, what are your thoughts on the Dark Matter line announcement?
Real quick, is Dark Matter part of the Dark Metal?
It's a spinoff.
Okay.
Spinoff series from the event.
If I remember right, when I was reading about it, it said that they were going to bring more diversity to the Dark Matter line, or through it rather. I hope that they focus on the storytelling, number one. Number two, the characters. Anything else is after that. If they do want to put diversity on, which I'm 100% for. I mean, we're a pretty diverse cast of people generally. Especially, I mean, in our whole across the podcast, I would rather them focus not on just pushing that. I hope that they've learned from their success with the Green Lanterns and the failures of Marvel in recent you know months that they can't just make this and then say, hey, this is this. I just hope that they've learned from that. That's all. If they can tell me a great story and, hey, by the way, here's a new hero that's really cool. He has a great arc, great origin. He's compelling. And by the way, he happens to be Muslim or black or gay or whatever. Cool. But it shouldn't be that's the first thing about him. You shouldn't have said, hey, this guy's going to be Puerto Rican. Let's build all the character around that, because that's not enough. None of us are – we got two Puerto Ricans here, and that's not the foundation of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
Machine, what are your thoughts on this spinoff series after Dark Knight's Metal?
I think I've got a couple of things, and I'm probably going to get loads of hate mail for this. I find it I'm going to go back up a couple of steps. I find it quite ironic that Jim Lee in that same week came out and said the comic book industry is in the middle of an implosion. We need to cut down. We need to get back to great storytelling using those great creators that have gone in the past and create really strong stories. So what we're doing is we're having 21 issues of Metal crossovers, and then we're going to bring out this whole bunch of other characters on top of the existing DC universe. And it'd be interesting to see as a marketing exercise if DC actually do they actually think that some of these new characters will actually supplant the status quo heroes? And is it therefore then going to be a loss leader to get more people into the shops? Because you know full well that people go into a comic book shop to buy the big characters, the Avengers, the Batmans, the Supermans, whatever.
What they know.
Exactly.
Right.
And then they might pick something else up because they've got a spare, well, over here, £2.50 in the pockets that they want to spend. But for me, I don't know. I like the idea that they're trying to be more diverse, and they're trying to be original and diverse at the same time, not just sort of changing up the legacy characters and different genders or different sexuality just because it flies well in the PR press. But from a longevity point of view, there's a reason why the Milestone universe imploded and didn't exist after a while. Why was that?
Right.
And you can't tell me that at the time the Milestone creators weren't equally as, if not better, than some of the mainstream creators that DC had on the time. If DC want to make books like they did in the past, get rid of the second tier books that are doing absolutely terrible, get rid of writers that don't do jack for the characters, and put in real characters. I'd rather pay more money for a more page quality Batman book than have a Batman and then two different Batgirl books that don't cut the grade for me. They don't make it, you know. If Batgirl has to go back to being a supporting character, fine. As long as she's written well, she can be a strong supporting character. I'd rather see that than have a Batgirl and the Birds of Prey bollocks that's been out recently.
So... I agree with 100%.
I got a couple of those issues for my niece, and I haven't sent them to her.
She'll go on comics. She'll go off comics. She's like, oh no, what's this? My eyes.
I know. It's absolutely ridiculous. You know, it's funny you say that, because I've got like, oh, the things you do, eh?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. There's a bunch of characters that your niece really, really likes. To do them justice, you need strong creators on there. Not just people who say, hey, look at us, we walked the 100. Great, well done. That show's getting cancelled this season. Brilliant job. Well done. Have a go at a comic book. Nobody reads them.
I think you're right, though. It is. It's about, if you are going to introduce somebody new, make sure that you have the entire foundation of that character written, understood, backstory, forward arc, all those things need to be there before you even put the comic out. Because otherwise, all you're doing is putting out fluff, and there's absolutely no point.
Right. Right. Agreed.
And that's what these books, hopefully these books will have strong new characters that you can identify with, want to like, want to love, want to continue on. But as you said, some of the writers aren't really going to do that. They're just going to put out mass-produced stuff that everybody knows already.
Right. And speaking of recognizable names, so DC has also announced that the Terrifics is going to be a series written by Jeff Lemire and drawn by Ivan Reyes. It's going to be DC's take on Marvel's Fantastic Four. So they're putting together the team of Metamorpho, Mr. Terrific, Plastic Man, and Phantom Girl together. Oh my God, Plastic Man. Together.
Oh man, Plastic Man.
Well, there's a diehard Plastic Man fan on this podcast whose name I won't mention.
Is it one of you guys? Please, don't say it is.
It's not me. I'll say that much.
I'm sorry.
I mentioned Plastic Man a while ago. I'm not gonna mince any bones. I mentioned it. I can't remember why I mentioned it. Why did I mention Plastic Man? Someone remind me.
It was characters that haven't shown up in Rebirth yet, and you really wanted to see Plastic Man.
Yeah, that's right, I did. Yes, let's bring Plastic Man back. Woohoo! Yes! It's like the listen Why? To the podcast. I tell you what, next month when they announce Bird of Prey getting cancelled, you can blame that. You can say thank you for me on that one as well. Yes!
I'll say this, okay? And I gotta agree with some of the comments that have been floating around on the internet. If Marvel's not going to bring back the Fantastic Four, screw it. Then let DC come out with their own version of it. Mm. I'm all for it.
But again, it's just rehashing something that's already exactly. been done. Why, instead of going, hey, there's not a Fantastic Four, let's do our version of it. Why not just say, hey, there's not a good group out there that's, you know, unknown characters. Let's bring these guys and make it into something better. No, we're just going to, you know, we'll do our own Fantastic Four. And that's what people are going to think when they read it. They're going to be, like, comparing.
Exactly. And there will be a lot of comparisons. So, and I think with Jeff Lemire on this, from what I've read from his work, I do like him as a writer. Obviously, Yvonne Race as an artist is tremendous.
Yes.
It's a strong team. There's no doubt about that. Can they make it work? Absolutely. I'm confident of that. So I'm very, very curious as to how this series...
What kind of longevity is it going to have? Let's be
honest. Exactly. Right. And only time will tell. And I agree with you that it will be a rehash of the FF, but you know what? People have been clamoring for the Fantastic Four or a quartet of heroes. So if nobody's going to do it, then what the hell?
Might as well.
I would love for it to succeed just as a big middle finger to Marvel.
Absolutely.
Look, you guys canceled this. You guys canceled your first family. Because of movie rights.
It's like turning your back on the president.
Yeah, Fantastic Four is the legacy of that Marvel was built on. Stan Lee's like first book that really created the Marvel universe that we have today. So if they won't do it, I'm fine with it. I really hope it does good. I mean, as like I said, again, as long as the story comes first instead of just saying, hey, let's make a Fantastic Four, as long as that comes first. I don't mind the comparisons as long as it's good. I would love for that to become like a movie series just to say, look, you guys could have worked this out, but you guys didn't. So
right. I mean, look at the lineup. I mean, I love Mr. Terrific. He's one of the smartest individuals in the DC universe. Metamorpho is always a fun time. Plastic Man, you know, whatever. Phantom Girl.
Hey,
you know,
I saw what you did there.
Let's see what happens when a series comes out.
It's just the four DC characters that they've chosen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they could have had anybody in that foursome, and they chose the four with the most similarities.
Right.
Why? Why bother?
Because
I know you're saying it's the FU to the Marvel Universe and whatever, but. I think it's create something better.
Look, it's not going to be fantastic. I can assure you that it's going to be terrific.
Pun intended.
Yes. Machine, any thoughts on this quartet?
Wow, you make me sick sometimes, 13. Like your punniness is too much sometimes.
I think
he's puntastic.
There you go. Machine, any thoughts on Terrifics before we move on to the next topic?
I think it's a good idea. I like the idea.
I think he went to go get beer. Fantastic.
Yeah, he's like, no, that's me done.
No, I'm here.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
I will say that...
he fell asleep.
Yeah, something like that. Where was I? Right. I think I like the idea, and I think DC have got the idea of taking the normal sort of paradigm and switching it a little bit. If they can be half as much fun and half as entertaining as Super Sons is, when it has absolutely no right to be, when you look at it on paper, it's like, oh, it's Jonathan Kent and Damian. Man, that's going to be a buzzkill. But you read it.
Jonathan Kent.
Yeah, it is one of the best books out there. It is such a laugh because it's just so different. And if they can do that get that level in there, if they make it a more surreal take rather than straight up superheroes, I think it's got a great shot. And I take Tracy's point on board as well that so many books look the same. I recently looked at Trinity, which I dropped off my pull list a while ago, and the last issue of Trinity, the whole Justice League were in it. I was like, is this not just another Justice League book then, by default? You know, so there are elements when stuff gets rehashed and rehashed and rehashed. I think if DC go out and say this is our Fantastic Four, they're absolutely dense, because the Fantastic Four, they're the first family of comic books, whichever side of the divide you're on. And you're never going to capture that magic again. So change the direction, change the paradigm, make it surreal.
Yeah, change the narrative, man. That's all we want. Yeah. Something fresh.
Make it trippy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
based in the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll cover one more thing here. So before we move on. So another announcement was made that The Signal, a.k.a. Duke Thomas, will be getting his own series. And that'll be Scott Snyder with Tony Patrick. He's basically going to be a hero by day, is what they're saying. There's been no release date for this series so far. Thoughts on Duke Thomas getting his own series? Johnny, I'm going to start with you on that.
Why'd you pick on me first?
Why not?
I care not one jot one way or the other. There you go. I absolutely.
Great.
I have no. Duke Thomas as a character, when he was in the We Are Robins, was interesting. After that, it's just one of many Robins now. You can call him Signal. You can call him Bob. You can call him, I don't know.
Your cookie call master. Him Bob.
Yeah, Bob.
Hey Bob.
Bob the superhero. That's what we're gonna call him. Bob. It makes no difference. There's nothing. I'm not overwhelmed by the character in any shape, way, or form. If he's in it, if he's in a bat book, he's in a bat book. If he's not in a bat book, he's not in a bat book. It makes no difference. It has no impact on me and my reading in any shape, way, or form. I'd like them to get back to a Batman and Robin book, but that's my own personal taste. There you go.
I agree with that. Tracy, any thoughts on a Signal announcement?
I 100% agree with Johnny.
You're all sucking up for points now, aren't you?
No, I'm not at all. I had to think for a second who the character was. Yeah. So that's how much interest I have in that series.
Freddie, any comments on the Signal?
If they're going to give him his own book, and he's a superhero by day, that is good, because at the very least, he's filling a role that is not being filled by a Bat family yet. If he's a Gotham daytime hero, like, all right, we don't have that. I mean, maybe Batgirl sometimes on Burn, but that she's only on Burnside, really. But yeah, I don't really care. They are building him up from scratch. I mean, we've been seeing him for a long time now. And he hasn't, I mean, he just got a name finally, kind of. I mean, it didn't feel real official. Like, I don't even notice. You guys had to tell me that they gave him a name. But at least they're spending time to build up his backstory instead of, hey, he's in this issue, and hey, here's a new book from him. So at least they're taking time. So, I mean, it could be good. You know, it doesn't feel rushed at all. Mm-hmm. So sure. But yeah, it's fine by me. I'll read the first couple.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. You know, I'll read the first few, and you know, yet another family, Bat family member getting his own book. Over the course of time, you know, I'll give it its fair shot. It's an interesting take that he's going to be roaming around Gotham during the daytime, but I don't know what villains he's going to be fighting or the severity of the storyline, how intense. Curious to see if any new characters come about that series. That's one thing that I'll you know, be looking for. But
what's his outfit like? You know what I mean? What way is he going to be roaming around Gotham during the day? Going to be in his skivvies? You know what I mean? He's going to be in normal clothing? What's he going to do?
He has a yellow outfit.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. You know, what you know, how can you place a crime fighter in the daytime in a, hey, look at me, I'm a crime fighter outfit? You know, it makes no sense.
My question.
Right. Well, I mean, at least. Oh, go ahead.
My question is a little bit more tangible, although Tracy makes a really valid point, is that so far we've talked about all these new books. My question to you guys is, which books are you going to drop to afford these new ones?
Well, as you've heard from me, because of my lackluster approach to certain other topics, I won't be buying a lot of the books. There will only be a certain few that I will be going, hey, yes, I'd be interested. And there are certain things that you can squeeze out of your pocket for an extra comic. Girl's got to do what a girl's got to do, you know?
I'm not going to promote piracy, but...
Well, thank God we get review copies, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right?
High fives us.
Yay!
I do buy the books that I like, which is, I mean, it's sad to say, but sometimes I'm not buying, you know, if I got to catch up on a book I don't want to read, I'm not buying all of Batgirl. Like, get out of here. But I'll go online and catch up. But the books that I do actually like and enjoy, and you know, that would be my figurative pull list, I do go to the store and pay for those. Even though I don't even open those books really. I just like to have them because I have a digital copy on my iPad, so it's fine.
I do like the paper though. I have to be honest. I am a bit of a purist at heart for my collection. So if I love something enough, it's worth spending the money. And if it's not, like, I don't have a lot of Superman in my collection.
All right, so that'll conclude our special edition of The Definitive Crusade. I want to give a special thanks to Tracy for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was so much fun. I really enjoyed it.
It's been a blast.
Definitely, definitely. All right, so thank you for listening, and catch us next time on The Definitive Crusade.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a production of the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Check us out at our website, undercovercapes.com and comiccrusaders.com. And thank you for listening to
The Definitive Crusade.
The greatest superheroes come to the Mohegan Sun August 18th to the 20th. Terrificon, Connecticut's number one Comic-Con, returns. Meet actors from the Game of Thrones, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Stranger Things. Plus a special tribute to TV's Adam West, Batman. Artists from Marvel and DC Comics. The Batmobile, the Batboat, even the Batcopter. It's Terrificon, Connecticut's Terrific Comic-Con. Mohegan Sun August 18th to the 20th. Tickets at the Mohegan Sun box office or Ticketmaster.com. See more at Terrificon.com. Come.